a broadcasting across the universe and around the world. Coming up in just a few short minutes, we have the Soul 70 Show with your host, Q Lynn Green and EB. And in the meantime, stay tuned. Tell your friends, download that app. It's free, IMG2, IMG, the number 2. You can also visit us on our website. That's www.studiow.buzz. In the meantime, let's see. I have something for you coming up on the Soul Savviness Show right now. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. Funking for Jamaica.
y'all. We back from, we came back from a hiatus. I know you used to hearing Will coming on, but I think he had to get to his drink, his Pinot Grigio, so you don't hear the producer. He usually brings us in, but me and E are here. We got a special guest tonight on the show. It's a very great singing duo, a married duo, and I know Will's probably listening right now, wanting to jump in. You can't jump in because this is pre-recorded. So we'll get the show started off right. We got a special guest on, Adam and Kizzy. So how are y'all doing?
Hey,
doing great. Doing good.
Man, I think I've been following y'all page for a while. I forgot how I got on to y'all's page. I think it's a musician friend of mine that I know, Jamar Poto. I know y'all know him. We grew up together. Childhood friend. I've known him for a long time. And so I think it was a video he had. I think he was playing a set, and I think you were playing, and I was like, oh, and then I found out about y'all page, Adam, that y'all were singing to, and I was like, okay, and then I went on there, I was like, man, this is amazing, and then just recently with this competition I have going on, the Megastar competition, that's when I really started really paying attention, because I was seeing y'all Facebook Live videos, and I want to get into that, because y'all have so much exciting things going on, but I want to go way to y'all childhood and your upbringing, and whoever wants to start, or how y'all came, the dynamics of your relationship and how that transferred over to music. But we'll start with childhood upbringing first, whoever wants to go first. And I guess in terms of the span of your musical taste, of how was that growing up in your childhood?
Okay, Kizzy, you want to go first?
My mother raised me to kind of like own music in general. You know, I was a baby, you know, and my mom would sit us both down at the piano and just play and sing. And as I grew, you know, she started to recognize that I had a knack for singing. And then she really got busy, you know, making sure that I had outlets and opportunities to train and things like that. But in our house, when music was playing, it could have been anything. It could have been old school R&B. It could have been jazz. It could have been rock. It could have been pop. I mean, we listened to everything. And so I feel like that probably is what informed my path towards hopping into music theater, because music theater is like this big palette. You know, music theater is responsible for so many different types of shows and productions. You know, you got like a Legally Blonde, but then you have Phantom of the Opera, and you got Guys and Dolls, but then you have Jersey Boys, you know, so it was kind of a match made in heaven for me, and I've just always had a love for all forms of music. So as far as taste goes, I have a pretty pretty large palette.
Nice.
I guess it's my turn now?
Yes.
Okay. It's somewhat similar for me. I grew up in a really artistic family. And all of my sisters, I have three sisters, no brothers. Everyone has always been involved in the arts in various ways. My mother started a choir when I was, I think, maybe 5 or 6. I was really young, and I was a soloist in the choir. That was my first performance experience. And then later, when I was 10 years old, she started a program. She was the program coordinator at the YWCA, the local chapter on the east side. She started a piano class. It was group lessons through Oklahoma City University. And on the day it was supposed to start, gave her 12 spots to fill, and only 11 kids showed up. So she threw me in so that it wouldn't appear that they were unappreciative of the positions that they opened for that. And I was one of 2 students who actually went on to continue studying music, the other being George Young, who I don't know if you're familiar with, but he's big on the gospel scene now and doing great things, but we started together. So that was kind of my introduction to music, although looking back on it, I can see how, like, watching The Cosby Show and Sesame Street were really fundamental in my development for loving jazz. And also, my father was a jazz musician. He's a pastor now, but when he was my age, he was a working jazz musician. So I inherited his record collection and just grew up hearing those sounds and hearing the stories about when he would meet McCoy Tyner and Cannonball Adderley and stuff like that. And so I grew up with those kinds of figures as my heroes and always kind of aspired to that. And so my musical upbringing has been pretty diverse. It started off pretty young, but it's pretty broad, you know, from classical music to hip hop to jazz to gospel to funk, you know, just trying to find where all of those things merge is really what Adam and Kizzy's sound is all about.
Right. And I was going to ask, in your childhood, what was the moments where you were like, I want to do this? Like, in terms of being wanting to be a singer and wanting to be a musician, when was that moment for y'all?
Man, I really don't know, because that's just always been, like, what I wanted. You know, I started putting together performances in elementary school. My first realized performance was in the fifth grade. Me and my best friend, my childhood friend, decided to reenact the scene from Sister Act when the nuns sing My God.
Is that the first one or the second one? I forgot. I don't think I saw the first one. Oh, the first one. See, that one's a little sketchy because I just remember Sister Act 2.
Yeah, we got our parents to make us little nun costumes, you know, and that far back is when I started really getting on stage, but it was even before then. Like, I've just kind of always known. I don't think there was this moment where I was like, that's what I want to do. I just have kind of always been doing it, and that's really thanks to my mom.
I remember for me, it was more of there was an aha moment that I had one day sitting at the keyboard practicing, and there was the Coca-Cola jingle at the time. I don't even remember which one it was, but I sat there and I figured out that I could find all the notes for this Coca-Cola jingle. And nobody showed that to me. It was just kind of like a little discovery I made. And then from there I realized I could play it in different keys. And at the time, I didn't even know the language for that. I just knew that if I started on a different note, I had to find different notes to finish the melody. And that
man, you sound like me. That's how I learned too. But it was more of like, I realized that the chords were harmonized. I was like, oh, and then at the time, I wasn't trying to be musically trained, but it was just, I just noticed that. But go ahead. It was the same experience for me.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So, you can probably relate. It just, for me, it started kind of this obsession I had with just figuring out why music sounds the way that it does, why it works. And so I started composing my own tunes. And I think eventually from there, I started listening to some of my dad's old Quincy Jones records. And the arrangements he would do with pieces just kind of blew my mind.
Man.
And it's like, I want his job. You know, I want to write music for films. I want to arrange music for bigger bands and just kind of like oversee this whole musical vision.
Right.
Wow, you're
getting to like a lot of questions I want to ask too. I'm trying to not like ask so many because that's what I do. I think I'm going to ask this many then like five pop in my head when people are talking. So, I will let my co-host EB, you go ahead, EB.
Yeah, so my first question is actually for Kizzy. I know that you're into music theater. Do you have a favorite theatrical production that stands out to you?
That I've been in or just that I've seen?
Let's go with that you've been in. That's good that you've been in.
Okay. Okay, well, I would say that probably my favorite overall. Well, let me think here, because I don't want to say the wrong thing. I've done so much. I don't know. I have a really special place in my heart for a high school production I did, and it was Guys and Dolls. And I think that a lot of it has to do kind of with the circumstances as well, because if you're familiar with Guys and Dolls, it was an all-white cast. You know, it came mm-hmm. out of, you know, that kind of a time. But our music theater teacher, he decided to cast me in the lead role, and a young black man in my opposite, Sky, the guy my love interest. And it actually kicked up a bit of a fuss, if you can believe it. But he stuck to his gun, you know, because he was a man. And right. I really had fun with that. You know, there's the accent, the really over-the-top New York accent, and it was just a really fun show all around. I don't know that I've not enjoyed any of the shows that I've done, but I do have a special place in my heart for that one for that reason.
Okay, and for Adam.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Q1.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, for Adam, it was interesting that he said that his father was a jazz musician, and you know he's a pastor now, but he inherited his record collection. Is that something that you plan on passing down? Is that, you know, that generational? I call it the generational gift of music. You know, it's passed from generation to generation. Whether it's talent or whether it's like a vinyl collection, is that something that you plan on doing? Keeping that in
absolutely.
Your family, in your circle?
Absolutely. And you know, what's really interesting, I was talking with my grandmother the other day. I had an uncle who was the family historian on my father's side. And I always knew that my dad and all my uncles were very musical. They all played instruments growing up, and they were all great. But upon researching the family lineage through my father's side, what I found was I come from a long line of musicians and preachers. Musicians, preachers, like every generation was musicians. And so discovering that was really illuminating for me why there was such a strong pull genetically towards it, you know, besides just the fact that my father was a brilliant drummer. But yeah, hearing those stories and listening to the records that my dad was listening to when he was young was fascinating to me, and that's definitely something that I want to pass on to my kids, even if they're not destined to be musicians, you know.
Right.
I think that the gift of music is way more than just that. It's more than just a job. It's more than a profession. It's a way of seeing the world. It's a way of navigating the world, and I think everybody has a soundtrack, you know, and so being able to help form their foundational soundtrack, this is where we've come from, you know, this is what real music sounds like, this is what it feels like, you know, just to hear it, to experience that is important. Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Amazing.
I think I only have, like, a couple more questions, and I think I'm solid on this, because usually I have, like, way more, but I think, well, maybe three, because another one just popped in my head. Okay, I want to talk about, in terms of the dynamics of your relationship, were you already married when y'all started doing music together, or how was that in terms of your relationship and how that transferred over to music, and how y'all came together to become a group? Like, when did that process happen?
So the answer to that is basically yes and no. So we were friends in high school. We were really good friends. Our lives went separate ways. And we both did various different performing jobs and things while our lives were separate. In 2011, we came back together, and at that time, both of us were on a hiatus from music, basically. So, for us, falling in love with each other was really falling in love with music at the same time.
Yeah.
So, like, music has always been kind of like the third part of this relationship, you know. And we got married 8 months after we reconnected. And then 2 weeks after we got married, we moved to India for 6 months where we did our first performance job together. So music, marriage, love, relationship, like all those lines are really pretty blurred. It's all kind of one event overall that happened for us.
Yeah, it really was all kind of pretty much in the same window. Like, when we got back together as friends in 2011, he was doing a lot of gigging, a lot of jazz gigs with his group Nublos, and I was tagging along, and then just kind of naturally, he would throw me in, and I would sing with them sometimes. But what we were doing was not yet Adam and Kizzy. Adam and Kizzy really was born in India, and Adam and Kizzy, well, I'd say Adam and Kizzy was conceived in India, and then Adam and Kizzy was born when we came back to India.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I want to get into both of the book of, is it pronounced Edo?
Edo.
Edo, okay. I knew I was going to get it wrong because my enunciation is terrible. But Book of Edo of Volume 1 and 2, is that word, I'm kind of familiar with that word, but not really. Is it? Does that mean creativity?
Yeah, more or less. It's about freedom of expression. So
got you.
The short version of Edo is this, you know, the word Edo is found in the word freedom. And, you know, like we were saying earlier, our musical backgrounds are really broad and diverse. And our whole approach to this music hasn't been to pick a lane and stay in it, but it has been walk all those lanes simultaneously and hopefully create new lanes in the process.
Yeah.
So invariably, we always have these conversations where people ask, what style of music are you? What style of music are you? And that's like asking somebody, sum yourself up in one sentence. It's impossible. You know, music is about self-expression. And when you start talking about styles, the only thing that can be achieved by that is limiting, you know, distilling a person's self-expression into a particular style. And if you listen to our music, it doesn't really fit cleanly in any one style because we're drawing from all of the influences. And
that's,
we're trying to be
authentic. That's what I was going to get to. I'm telling you right now, I became an instant fan after I listened to Volume 1, but Volume 2 took it to a whole new level. I was like, wow, this is, because I love albums that conceptually I can understand. Like, and I say always the first record from an album is the one that pulls me in. And I think the intro, your intros for both of those albums are amazing. Cause I like being brought in, like, you know what I mean? Like it's, you're getting ready to listen to a story. And so I feel like the intros to both of the first songs, I think from Volume 1 is Train, and then from Volume 2 is, what you can't see. Is that what it is? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. But yeah, those intros, it like brought me in. And then conceptually, I get it. I got it. Cause all your influences, you know, you said pull from jazz, pull from this. I heard hip hop. And then you were doing more rhyming on Volume 2, I noticed early in that one. I was like, yo. And what's crazy is that you have the like illest flow I've ever heard. And I think it's because of the jazz. It's because you're musically trained, but that jazz, I feel like that jazz is what it is, because it reminds me of like how Biggie used to flow, like he would flow on a record like it was a jazz horn. And you like flow on there like what the piano chords is doing. It's like you're like in tune with that. I think that's so cool. I'm sitting there having a fan moment because I was like, wow, this is crazy. And I like,
I appreciate you.
I feel the same way.
And yeah, all those sounds, like I conceptually get like what it is, and people feel like you have to have a certain genre, you know, and it's still in the lineage. I feel like of now, of like Robert Glasper, I love how like he fuses sounds together. with jazz. He's like, they call it modern jazz, but I just feel like his influences like shine through. Like, I love how he does with like David Bowie renditions and how he like mixes those sounds together. It's so cool. But I know for one that stood out on the volume two was the, this word threw me for a doozy, tumultuous time. I had to practice that for a minute because, like I said, my college education only took me so far. So my enunciation skills are off. But I wanted to ask with that. Right. That was a hard word. That was a college educated word right there. I didn't even know how to pronounce it. But I wanted to say with that song, that's one of my favorites from Volume 2. Why I was interested in why the interlude wasn't first instead of that. That's the question I wanted to ask with that tumultuous time.
It's basically chronological of the real life event.
So, oh, gotcha.
Tumultuous time is basically chronicling the period before Kizzy and I came together. And so the rap portion of it is talking about that tumultuous time.
You know? Oh, I got it now. Oh, as soon as you said that, okay, it clicked. All right.
And then she basically takes us to outer space, and that's really what it was when we became romantically involved. There was so much inspiration. There was so much music that came from that, you know, so that's what Kizzy's part represents.
Okay, see, that's why I needed the backstory, because it makes complete sense. I'm glad I asked that question, because now you just described the perfect album to me. That was the only part, because usually I'm conditioning my mind to hear interludes first before that track. You know what I mean? So like a clever way of doing it. That's cool. I was just curious about that one. But I think that's all. I want to play a game real quick. We play this game on the show. Just a disclaimer, our show is usually wild, so we're pretty tame right now, because usually we're on live radio, we're kind of out of control, but I feel like EB's controlling himself. We're not bringing up Beyonce or nothing like that, so we're all behaving ourselves right now. But we're going to play this game. We play on the show, it's called the What's Wrong With You game. It's pretty much an either-or game, the rules of the game is pretty much you got to pick what I pick. Sometimes EB comes in and, you know, and says, hey, you know, if you answer correctly, you know, ain't nothing wrong with you. But if you answer not in to my liking, I'll be like, okay, something's wrong with you. So, and usually EB will come in and be like, you know what, they can win the game. So, I don't know. I think he has a list, I'm not sure. But we're going to start with mine. Let's see. Okay, we go with Marvin Gaye or Teddy Pendergrass.
What was the first option?
Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye. Marvin Gaye or Teddy Pendergrass?
Marvin Gaye. There we go, you're talking right. Y'all get bonus for that, because y'all both answer right. Okay, the second one. The OJs or the Whispers?
OJs.
Okay, that's a trick question. That's actually a bonus question. Either way, if you would have said OJs or Whispers, you would have got bonus for that. Because they're pretty much the catalog. Oh, and I should mention, this is not vocal comparisons. This is just music catalog. Like I said, I make up the rules as I go. So some of these are trick questions, and then, you know what I mean? It's a little mixture of different stuff in there. So, okay, the next one, Prince or Rick James?
Prince.
There we go. You talked right. That's a trick question as well. You could have got bonus for either one. Like I said, I make up the rules. Right, exactly. I just make them up as I go. That's how it goes. This is where we start cooking right here. Because these are not either or. You got to answer directly. This is where the hard questions come in. Okay, here we go.
Right.
Off the Wall or Thriller?
Off the Wall.
Off the Wall.
That, you're talking right. That's what it is. Y'all are acing this. This is the first. I think y'all probably the second couple. It's something about having married couples on, because we had a married couple on, and they were answering perfectly through that. I think we need to have more married couples on. Y'all be talking right. Okay. Go to the next one. Right. Let's see. I want to throw this one out here. Evie, I know I said I was going to throw this out the list, but I'm just curious to know what they're going to do. I said I was going to throw this one out, but I want to ask them. Okay. Aretha or Patty?
Aretha.
Oh, man. Amen. I shouldn't have asked.
Amen.
I was going good. Right. That's my own fault. I shouldn't have asked. I just messed it up because I said I was going to leave this. You know what? This technically, y'all don't get what's wrong with you on this one because I said I was going to get rid of this one because I've been influenced on the show to get rid of it, and usually I don't say this. I said I was going to get rid of it, but I couldn't help myself. I was just curious. So, technically, EB, technically.
Let him tell you why.
Go ahead. Tell me.
Okay. Now, the Aretha Patty debate has been long going in our relationship. And I've always been Team Aretha. Izzy was originally Team Patty.
And I still technically am.
Yeah, she's still basically Team Patty. But for me, Aretha Franklin's record, Amazing Grace, the live gospel.
Mm.
Yeah. Greatest song, live.
T.O. Keaton with the gospel album. Oh my God. I guess I gotta count that as the music catalog. But I feel like it's cheating adding that in there, cause it trumps everything.
Yeah.
That's like one of the realest gospel records that's ever been made.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Okay, so technically you don't get a what's wrong with you there, cause that one's supposed to be ass. So, y'all still good. Okay. The next one is Brian McKnight or Babyface.
Babyface.
There we go. You're talking right. Okay, y'all won again. Besides the Patty versus Aretha, y'all aced the whole thing, and that technically doesn't count.
They aced that.
Evie, I know you ride for Aretha. I know this. We know this on the show. I'm just saying that one doesn't count. It doesn't count at all. Evie, do you have a what's wrong with you for them? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I have three. I like to do mine a little different. I do mine in terms of, I give you a year and I'll give you two songs from that year and you tell me which one was your favorite. All right. My first year, 1986, Janet Jackson, When I Think of You, or Whitney Houston, How Will I Know?
Whitney Houston, How Will I Know?
All right. That was a good one. 1988, Keith Sweat, I Wanna, or Bobby Brown, Don't Be Cruel.
Oh.
Oh, goodness.
I should interject here that though I was alive during these times, you're kind of going before my time because...
Before your time.
I didn't start listening to popular music until I was in maybe... 7th or 8th grade. So there was a lot I missed because all I used to listen to was classical music and jazz.
Right.
I've heard songs, but it's been so long.
What was the Bobby Brown one?
Don't Be Cruel.
Heard a kid be on this one. Your house right here.
No, because
you're having a hard time up there, huh?
I don't like the Keith Sweat song, but I don't like Bobby Brown, so.
Mm. What? I know I'm not, this is not my list, but you can definitely get what's wrong with you on that, because Bobby Brown is king.
Yeah.
Not of R&B.
I like this.
Ribs and barbecue, maybe. Maybe he's the king of ribs and barbecue, but I don't know. But go ahead.
Like, if I was like you're asking me to
fake
my pinky toe versus my big toe.
I mean, what do you think you can do with that?
For Keith Sweat.
My gut says Keith Sweat. I don't know.
Keith Sweat?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, he asked me that one before, and I said the Keith Sweat because Teddy Riley had those funky chords in there. Like, it was just something, like, L.A. Reid and Babyface had, you know, the R&B chords on lock, but it was something about Teddy had that gospel and funk mixed in there, them chords I like. So,
yeah.
What's your determination? I determined there's nothing wrong with it. Was that your last one? Or you got another one?
No, I got one more.
Okay.
One more now. So, we are going back to, like, before your time. 1980, Michael Jackson, Rock With You, or Prince. I Want to Be Your Lover.
Oh, you're strong for this.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson? What?
You picked the hardest ones of those. That's the best songs from those albums. And you picked the...
Okay. Both of those songs for you right now.
That's Michael at his best, and Michael at his best was the best thing we ever seen.
Seriously. How Rod Temperton produced that, and then, but I got leaned towards Prince most of the time because he played all those instruments on that song. So it's like, to me, musicianship wins. Which kind of transitioned to, I got two more questions. We're going to get into the Megastar competition, how y'all got into that. And I only have one more. We're going to get this thing. I've been waiting one show to do this. And we finally got a musician and a singer on. So I'm definitely going to do this now. I got this thing. I'm trying to create this kind of beef going on. Y'all married, so it doesn't, I don't know how, you know, this is going to percolate. So these questions is going to do this. But I feel like, you know, there's a beef, like underlying beef between musicians and singers, you know? And so I want to clear the air. And so I want to create these questions to kind of, you know, create controversy going on the show. So musician versus singer, these are my questions. I want to know from the singer's point of view and the musician's point of view, which I think of the opposite. So I'm going to go with Kizzy first. Okay, what is it that you dislike most that musicians do in rehearsal or doing a live gig?
Did you say like or dislike?
Dislike. Because I'm a heathen, and so I'm going to immediately go there. So, something you dislike that musicians do during rehearsal or during a live gig?
Okay. Well, this isn't really something that they all do every time across the board, but for rehearsals, what I dislike, it's kind of more prior to the rehearsal. It's really hard to communicate with a band. And see, for us, we don't have a band on lock. It's just our official band is just the two of us. So when we do work with a band, you know, these are people who are official members of the band. So we're always working with different people here and there. And so there's no groove. And when I try to, you know, communicate with the whole group to start scheduling rehearsals and stuff, it's really difficult. You get a lot of non-responses. You have to kind of, like, hunt people down. And then I try to communicate really efficiently and really deep in a lot of detail because people don't typically read what you send them, you know. They don't pay attention. And so you end up having to kind of repeat yourself, or they don't know stuff that they should have known because they didn't read, like stuff like that.
Right.
And it's like, I don't count it as a character. I know that these people are busy. They have lives, they have families, they have jobs. And, you know, it can be stressful, you know. Now during the gig, I've only ever experienced this with one or two musicians, but when musicians sing or they make obnoxious sounds when I'm singing, that really hurts me.
Like when they hit a groove, is what you're talking about? Like they did a lick that was real nice and they say something? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but it's like, that's okay, because, you know, we're bands, we talk, we, you know, we're like, yeah, doc, or whatever, but when they do it obnoxiously, so that now it's interfering with the music. That's what it is to me.
Do you ever, like, has anybody ever, like, taken a solo or something, did too much or played too loud while y'all were singing?
Not on our game, but I know.
Okay. Yeah. We play with drummers, he plays too loud, you know.
Oh, yeah.
What about you? What's something the singers do during rehearsal or a live gig that you dislike?
All right, I'm going to give it to you in one word. Extra.
I know what you're talking about. Yes, talk about it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Okay. So, it's supposed to be a democracy on stage. You know, even if there's a defined band leader, once the music is being made, everybody's supposed to be working together for the same goal. But there are these singers, and it's like a thing. It's really common where singers, they see themselves as the face of the band, which may be true to a point. They see themselves as the personality of the band, or the heart and soul of the band, so much so that they're no longer working with the band, but they're doing everything despite the band. You know, this is really bad on jazz gigs, you know, and there's a real dichotomy because you, on a lot of these jazz gigs, you'll have musicians who have really worked really hard and shedded and learned the theory behind the music, learned the language of the music. And then you have singers who just like the idea of being in long red dresses, being on stage, singing cutesy jazz tunes or whatever, right?
Right.
So that happens all the time. And they'll be talking during your solo. You crack jokes with the audience while you're trying to play serious music, you know, but for them it's just shtick. So singers, less shtick, more music. That's what I said.
Listen, I know... Every time I talk about this, I create this controversy thing in the emails. They like, why are you always going in on the singers? I go in on the musicians too, cause I don't like it when they're unprepared, when they go to rehearsal. Like, sort of what, Kizzy was saying, and how they want to wing it most times, and they just wish, you get some of them that want to just do a solo part in there. They just want to wait on that. The pocket, I talk about it, but singers, now I have a whole thing because it's sort of like this sort of anonymous beef that we had. Nobody wants to address it because I see how musicians have this whole beef thing going on with singers and nobody talks about it. And singers, I've seen singers say it too, talking about how we don't know our keys. But I'm like, most of the time when I go, some of them don't know the lyrics there. So I have a little beef with singers. They don't, some of them don't know the keys. We gotta have a hard time to know all, we gotta know every note, we gotta know every key, but y'all don't know the chorus most of the time. It's almost always pressure on the musician, but it's never pressure on the singer to know what key they're supposed to be in. And I know I'm sitting here ranting about it, but I just wanna say, I would need for the singer, my only gripe is, I want y'all to stay on beat with what we're doing and listen to us and how I play the drums. I play multiple instruments, but my main instrument is the drums. I would just prefer, let me be nice and say prefer, if y'all wouldn't sing over the top of us. Like, when we play it, like, stay with us and don't, like, you know what I mean? Like, don't be in lead of what we're doing. Because we got to keep the groove, and I can't keep the groove. That's my only gripe. Okay, I'm done. Ran over. Musician versus singer. I feel like because y'all married, y'all taking it. Like, I was trying to create some kind of controversy, but y'all are really solid. And, you know, given the cookie cutter answers, I respect that. Because I'm gonna try to get some kind of, right. I was just trying to throw it out there just in case. I know I ain't trying to mess up the church's money in Oklahoma City. You know, cause they might be tuning in. But we're gonna get to this Maker Star competition. I wanna know, what inspired you to feel like you could enter into that competition. What was so specific about that? And, I guess, cause y'all doing amazing. Just, for the listening audience that's listening in, they're doing amazing. Like, I just voted. You know what? I had deleted it on accident and they gave me like 5 extra votes. So I could vote again at 2:00. So this would be my 7th time voting. Seven times voted. So I kind of cheated a little bit, but not intentionally. I just deleted it on accident and re-downloaded it. If y'all want to, I'm just saying, if the listening audience wants to do that before Saturday, y'all can do that. I'm just saying. But, third point, with the app, what inspired y'all to enter this competition? And how did y'all think y'all were going to do?
The real 100 with you right now. There was a lot less of inspiration involved in this. Adam was out of town. He went out of the country on a gig. And I had a lot of time to kill. And I was on Facebook. And you know how it goes. You know, you watch a video on Facebook, let the video, it goes on autoplay. And then another video plays. And if you let it, it'll just keep going. So that's what I did. I had nothing better else to do, so I just let all the videos play. And at one point, this video of this woman singing popped up, and she was really good. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll just listen to this. But then I realized that it was a commercial, and it was a commercial for Megastar. And I was just listening. I was like, oh, let me check that out, you know. So I just kind of, I rabbit holed Megastar, basically. I followed the trail of breadcrumbs that they had created. And I followed it all the way to downloading the app. And it just, every step was really easy. You know, like, I would look into this thing and see, what if this works? And then and that would work. And then this next thing would work. And then the next thing I knew, I was uploading trains. And I was just like, hey, you know, see how it works. My whole reason going into it was Adam and I have been wanting to connect with our fans more and to grow our fan base more. We shoulder a lot of responsibilities with Adam and Kitty, because it's just the two of us. And it's hard. It's hard juggling all of the responsibilities that we have. And one of the things that has fallen on the back burner has been our social media presence. And we had recently been talking about how we wanted to, you know, just engage more with our fans. And we've been starting to do some things to try and do that. And so I saw this as an opportunity to possibly throw that in the pot of, you know, getting engaged with new fans and old fans alike. I didn't really know how far we would go. You know,
we didn't expect to go this far.
I really didn't. You know, my whole thing was, hey, we might make some new friends, and that would be great.
You were talking earlier about making up the rules as you go, and I was saying that's pretty much
right.
That's
what we do. Right. That sounds great to me, because I'm all about that. Man, y'all are doing so amazing on that app. And I think when I saw it, it was at 7. Y'all at number 7? Is that still there?
Yeah, I jumped to 9. I don't know where we are now. I haven't checked. But, yeah, we're kind of, like, circulating around, you know, 7. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, did Usher start this competition, or was he just
He's on the executive team. I can't remember. Executive producer or director or whatever. But he's definitely the face of it. And then there's another viral celebrity, Jed Corliss, who's also on the team. And then actually, I don't know who else. Of other celebrities that's involved, but yeah.
Okay, listen, y'all. They're doing so amazing on this app. If you're listening in, if you're at home, hopefully you're not driving. If you're driving, just you can listen to the replay. We have the full audio of this on the website, and you can pay attention to this Megastar app. All you gotta do is go to your Play Store, or if it's a App Store, your Apple Store. I don't know what they call it on iPhone. I got a Samsung. But wherever you download apps, go there, enter in Megastar. It's a very simple process. All you got to do is download the app. Once you get on there, it'll take you to, you can go to the home page and look at all the top rankings on there and vote for Adam and Kizzy. They're in the number 7 spot. We got to get them in the top 5 before Saturday. So if you're listening right now, pull your phone out. Download that Megastar app, Megastar app. It's a purple icon. So all you got to do is click on that, download it, and go on there and vote because they're amazing, talented group. I'm a fan, instant fan. I feel like I'm late, like 4 years too late, but, hey, I'm on the train now. I'm on this Adam and Kizzy train. We got to get y'all here popping. Y'all here popping in these streets. Y'all have amazing fans, supportive fans to get y'all this far. It's a lot of
tough competition on there. So I ain't gonna throw disses out there. Okay, I'm gonna throw one out there. Some of that soundscape music, they're giving y'all some upbeat tempos and mixing it up in there. Fusing the sounds. Some of that music sounds like soundscape music you go to sleep to. We gotta get some kind of competition going on. Get them in the top five before Saturday. It's an amazing group. You'll love it. I believe you can find, where can we find you on social media?
Adam and Kizzy, just AdamandKizzie.
Facebook,
that's Instagram. Everything. That's all of our social media. That's our website. Just Adam and Kizzy.
And we're going to say this throughout the show. We're going to be promoting this Megastar app. Make sure y'all download it. You can vote multiple times, five times, just like that little sneak thing I did. That wasn't intentional for me doing that. I actually did accidentally delete that, and it lets you re-vote. So I think if you can do it for a day, so still, you get extra five votes. So do that.
Right.
I got five extra ones. Well, four, so I can vote later today. But thank y'all so much for coming on. It was a great conversation.
Thank you.
I know if our producer was on, our producer's not on because he drinks on the show. I'm just going to throw that out there. I know he's going to chime in right here when we record live later today and be like, why are you throwing? He's trying to do a case on me saying I'm out here making up fabrication. He drinks on the show. So we kind of X'd him out of this process because he confuses guests, and so he would have thought we were talking about Peaches and Herb when I was talking about a married duo. So I'm like, they ain't even together no more. What are you talking about? But he does that on the show. So me and EB did this thing. Thank y'all so much for coming on. We appreciate it. And make sure y'all check out their music. And because it's amazing. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. You've been listening to.
And Will, if you want to, you can go to the next song, play these back to back because it is EB's birthday. Well, birthday celebration is on tomorrow, but we celebrating tonight. He picked all the songs, so Will hit us with that back-to-back.
No, we are changing our minds. Yeah. EB, happy birthday to you, and to you, Q-Lynn. EB, happy birthday. Soul 7 is show here on Studio W. Deep Buzz. Listen to the Soul 70 show on Studio W The Buzz with your host, EB. Happy birthday, EB. Happy birthday, my friend. And Q-Lynn Green. And special guest hosts, Julie and LaShawn. Well, anyway, great interview. A great interview with Adam and Kizzy. Thank you so much for that.
That was a great interview.
It was outstanding. Yes.
They were amazing.
I was listening. Right. Caught the end of it. When we was coming back in, and I was like, man, that was great. And I still have more questions. Like, I told y'all, like, I start off with, like, I think maybe I'm going to ask, like, 7 questions, and then it ends up being, like, 15, and then I have more on top of that. But we had to cut it short, you know, not to get in too much in the show, but it should have been really a 2-hour one. But we got to get them on another time and do a whole 2-hour like we did with Monty, and which we're going to get to that in updates, because that show, with Monty, we gotta get to an update, EB, cause, listen, it's a lot of y'all. I ain't gonna call y'all out y'all name, but y'all really out here being thoughtish. That's all I'm gonna say. Cause, if I knew we had to get 5 men on this show for y'all to tune in, I would've booked about 5 of them already. Cause, that Monty Cross interview, still get feedback from
me.
But yeah, we got so many, but that's a whole, we get to that in updates, cause I got so many, well, I think I got a lot for Julie, but yeah, we're going to introduce our guest. That's all. Like Will said, we got, you know, she's family at this point. She's been on multiple times. The last show she was on, we left on a cliffhanger. And I'm going to try to stir it up a little bit because, you know what, it's perfect time. I'm glad she came on so I can really, we can get to my rant that I've been saving up for. And I was like, you know what, I thought she wasn't going to come up. I was like, okay, now she's on now? Okay. But she's family at this point, so she's on the last show. Y'all know who it is. It's Julie, founder of Just Whip Products. So shout-outs to Julie. And also, EB, if you want to introduce another special guest this first time on the show, go ahead, EB, take it away.
Yeah, she's a talented young lady. It's in her blood. Good genes. She got good genes. My little sister. All right, I guess I should stop calling her my little sister, but... My sister LaShawn is on of the Tilted Crown blog. She's a writer for DCBlack.com, and she's doing a lot of exciting things, and I wanted her on for, you know, my birthday edition. So, hi.
Round of applause. I like that.
Is that what it is?
I like that, Will. I like that. I know, right?
You got that
round
right.
Of applause.
The best engineer,
right,
in, the best engineer in the world.
Did you hear the? Didn't you? We were off air when I got on because we're gonna ask EB sister a few questions. I'm gonna keep it civil, but next
okay.
5 minutes. But
Michael Jackson.
You talk to him. We get wild on this show. First off, I love that song, so you actually lose in this situation because that's my favorite top five Michael Jackson song. So that didn't do anything to me, sir, while you was trying to prove a point and ruining EB's birthday selection song, sir. Because we had, we going to get to this after.
I played EB's song.
Like I said, I'm trying to stay civil. Sorry, LaShawn. I know you're new to this. Julie is aware of this.
Good luck with that.
Every show. This is your first time on the show. Our producer likes to act up in front of company. I just want to put that disclaimer out there just to fill you in a little bit. We'll get to a little bit. But we want to know. I want to know. So I don't know if EB has some questions, but I have some. I checked out your blog, TiltedCrownBlog.com. It's a beautiful site. First off, I was really into the first post that I started looking at was the one you did about traveling alone,
yeah,
which is pretty dope because I do that all the time because I'm a traveling musician, so I do that all the time. But on vacations, I actually do enjoy, you know, you made a lot of great points in there, and that's sort of what I experienced. So what I guess I could start with, like, what made you want to do that that blog and sort of explain to the listeners sort of the vision behind starting it.
Well, that blog post was pretty much inspired by, I took a road trip to Atlanta for an event a few weeks ago, and, like, I was just going through some things, stressed out, and I was just like, every time I hit the road or anytime I hop on a flight, it's just that peace. Like, I get to get away from all the stress and anxiety and all the troubles that I experience, like, when it's back to reality. So it's like that getaway is like a cleanse, a mental cleanse, a physical cleanse, like just to let all of that loose and just work on me, have some me time. That was what the travel blog was inspired by. But the Tilted Crown blog in general was just inspired by black people, black women specifically. I'm an outspoken woman, outspoken person, outspoken black woman, which is usually frowned upon. A lot of people don't like to hear black women speak their mind because it's often taken as attitude or us being rude or us being labeled as the angry black woman. And I feel like, you know, we should be treated as equals. You know, we have something to say. We shouldn't have to suppress our feelings. Growing up, we're always told how we need to keep ourselves, keep our hair, so it looks tamed and things like that. So I felt like I want to create that space where not only black women but black men as well are able to speak their minds freely without judgment, just to have open dialogue, to highlight the things that they're doing in the communities, whether it's starting their own businesses, nonprofit organizations, helping out with the homeless, or just uplifting the youth, mentoring. So I pushed the blog forward. You know, people were just telling me, you know, you speak a lot on things, you speak out on things. I love to talk about the things that people often see as taboo in the black community. So I figured, you know, I need to just go ahead and put this out there, make that platform, and highlight our people.
Nice. I wanted to know, I know you, you're a contributor for DC Black and National Black Guide as well?
Yes, I am. I just started back in September writing articles for them, traveling, going to different events. I got a chance to see Paul DeHanna's stage play, Before You Say I Do. I got to meet the cast, and he was the playwright, so I got to talk with him a little bit, got to speak with the producer of Soul Choice Theater. So I contribute to them just to highlight Black events, not only in Washington, D.C., but just going on in the nation, and just to spread that word and that love and build the brands and businesses that we all have going.
Nice. I wanted to, does all that tie in for you? Is it the same sort of vision you had planned for your career, or is it, did you always want to do this kind of work, or did it sort of change course when you got older?
No, I never saw it coming. If anything, I wanted to do nonprofit work, just to do fundraising. But I guess slowly but surely I got into writing somehow, just to, I guess, for a form of therapy. And once that started, it was just like, you know, I do have a lot to say. So it seems now I'm going in that direction career-wise, like to stick with journalism. And, of course, it's a great way to network, and I just get to know people more and see what they're experiencing. And I realize there are other people out there who I can relate to, and I can share that message with others. So as of now, it's the career field I want to choose.
Nice. I guess I asked this one. I want to stir something up a little bit. You said she's your, excuse me. You said she's your younger sister, or is she older than you, EB?
No, she's 2 years younger than me.
2 years younger than you? Okay.
Yep.
So this goes along with my question. Okay. I wouldn't say in terms of your family dynamic, do y'all have multiple siblings, or is it just you two? In your family?
Multiple siblings.
Okay, so I want to know, like, was he, like overbearing as a older brother, or was he, was he cool? Like, what kind of sibling was he?
If I can be honest, E.B. was brat because he was first.
Spoiled rotten.
And I was labeled, like, pretty much, like, the bad kid. So, I mean, we went at it, you know, threw some hands a couple times, but.
Oh, there we go. That's what I need to hear right there. You're giving it all to me. There we go. That's what I need to hear. What was it? Was he, like, I wouldn't say favorite. I guess, you know, that's a common question, you know, if you thought you were the favorite, because everybody thinks somebody, other sibling is the favorite or whatever, but. I want to know, in terms of y'all relationship, was it always, was it something like you had to, like, were y'all like buddies, like when y'all were kids and still remain buddies, or was it like, I didn't really like you, like how you used to take my Super Nintendo while I was playing it type of thing, and I still can't stand you from 88 from doing that, so, or is it like we always been cool? We kind of had our rifts, but we still been cool, and we talk to each other, like have a friendly, like a friendship sort of thing throughout the years. Or has it been like growing where y'all had to like each other?
I mean, I would say like I couldn't stand him since 88, but if I can be honest, I mean, I feel like we've grown together. Like, you know, once we started experiencing like those adult experiences, like when you go through your struggles or when you start achieving goals, it's like, you know, I feel like we've grown together, especially since college, because we both went off on our own and started doing our own things and experiencing, you know, different cultures and communities. And I guess we got to interact through that often. And, you know, we speak, like, just about every day. So, you know, now, of course, we're, like, tightening it. You know, had our fights growing up, but, you know, I would always win. But,
no. That's perfect. Yeah, I just want to know. And then also, yeah, I read a couple updates where they listened to childhood memory show, and Evie revealed a lot of stuff. I know I revealed a lot of stuff. People had questions when we get to the update. I might look through some of those if I could find them. But I looked over one where they was like, they were laughing because Evie had told a story on there. He had told a story about a childhood memory, and they was just saying something. One of the listeners had asked, what's something we don't know about the both of us? And I told my story, and then he told his afterlife, it was like, so I almost killed my cousin. And we were like, he started with that. We were like, what? Like, okay, do I have to edit this out? I was like, because the way you started with that, it sounded like, you know, I don't know if the limitations on this case is happening, but you just said a whole lot in one sentence, and it wasn't that long. But he was saying something about how his cousin almost drowned in the pool or something. And I was like, and he said he didn't know that his cousin was drowned. I'm like, what is going on with EB? Do you remember that?
Wow. Some, you know, he did a lot. You know, almost killed a cousin. I'll give you a family vacation story. I got on the treadmill one time on vacation in Myrtle Beach.
No.
And, he turned the speed all the way up and tore my elbows, my arms.
Oh no!
My skin, like, bust me all up. And of course,
there was
did
so
not
much blood.
But you know. But he was all right.
Yeah, it sounds like he was all right, because that sounds like a lot. that's a fun, listen, I'm glad you on so I could get to just learn a little bit more about, because he reveals a little bit, but I'm getting a lot into it, because y'all think I'm the crazy one? Y'all think I'm the one that's a lunatic? I think my co-host has a little bit of that, and it's a little bit derived back. And you know, it comes out pieces. Well, Sean, he has this thing, Beyonce. I know you know, but whatever we get on there, he has this thing to where he just turns up. And I was like, this is the EB that I've been trying to see. And then he makes a lot of jokes that he think, and we're going to get to that in the update, sir, because we got some unfinished business from 3-4 shows ago that I keep forgetting to get to. But before we do that, I'm going to get all y'all together. I got bones to pick with EB, with Julie, and right now, Mr. Pinot Grigio. We're going to get to him first before we get to the show. And we're probably going to have to do a part two like we did that one, because this one wants to, the producer of the show that likes to drink, likes to get people riled up, going to play Michael Jackson, not knowing that's one of my favorite Michael Jackson songs. I know, listen, you were just upset because you couldn't respond back in that audio. And I'm so glad I started off that interview the way I did, because I was hoping. I wasn't being petty, because I wanted to throw some shots in there, because it was amazing not hearing you chime in and cut me off before I made my point. Because you do that a lot. It makes me divert. You know, I got ADD, so I got to stay on focus what I'm trying to say. And so it was perfect during that pre-tape interview to where I didn't have to hear you respond. But guess what? You try to come back after we do that to try to throw some Michael Jackson, ruining EB's birthday? You ain't affecting me. You affected EB's birthday selection. And you know what? He wants to come on here and play his brown liquor playlist on EB's song. That's what he did.
That's not what I did at all.
What he did. All those songs, I didn't pick none of those songs. Those are EB selections, because it's his birthday turn up. I thought he was going to play, side note, I thought he was going to play like Migos or something, just something like off the wall, like for just because it was a special occasion. But he hit us with the grown folks tunes, so I'm with it. I was jamming.
When it had nothing to do with it.
The other ones were playing.
It was a clap back because I heard the entire interview.
Guess what?
And they chose Michael Jackson. They chose Michael Jackson.
That's what that clap back was.
Yeah, the clap back was they chose. Yeah.
No.
Oh, that's right. The Harlem Night. One of the baddest movies.
Just like in Harlem
One of the baddest movies.
And Arsenio Hall said, quit shooting that mother. Like, that's what that was. Because you wouldn't hit no bullets with that. Because that's my favorite Michael Jackson song.
Well, good. Well, you know, all of them should be your favorite, because, like I said.
That's all I wanted to, I just just admitted that I did that on purpose, and I know you were seething the whole time during that interview because you wanted to respond, and guess what? You couldn't. And you get mad, and then it ends up got egg on your face because that's my favorite.
It was no egg.
Top five.
It was
and
no
so
egg.
It worked.
Well, all of Michael Jackson should fit in front of Prince anyway.
Work.
That's right.
Where's the mute button at? I'm getting ready to find it because you get me hyped up.
Prince is second string.
Because I got way more stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, LaShawn. I hate to bring you on our family scuffles we have on here.
You know, I apologize for the host. Evie, happy birthday.
You need to apologize for playing these songs. I'm trying to keep a clean show. That's why I'm get me riled up.
Happy birthday, EB.
Thank you, Will. Thank you.
That's exactly right.
I'm done with this conversation now.
And you know why? Because it did work. Prince is second string.
It did work.
Prince is second string.
We're not fixing to do no part 19 of this Prince versus Michael Jackson. You're not going to get me riled up on that.
Yeah.
I'm getting riled up because you're trying to. What? Go ahead.
Actually, I'm going to ask my sister. First, I'm going to ask her Prince or Michael Jackson. And then I'm going to
Why are you doing this?
Because it's his birthday. Be quiet, Q-Lynn.
I'm curious. And then I want to ask her, growing up in our house, do you think we were a Prince household or a Michael Jackson household?
I accept the question.
I'll choose Prince over Michael Jackson.
You're talking right.
Growing up in our household, I say our household was a Prince household because if a Prince song come on, the whole family jamming. But you know, we'll sit and watch a Michael Jackson documentary for entertainment purposes. But you play a Prince song and it's on and popping, it don't matter what it is, like it's lit.
You talking right? There we go. You talking right? I'm glad he asked
I didn't know what her answer was going to be.
There we go. Ain't nothing wrong with a Prince household. So I just wanted to say that because Will, it didn't work. And we're going to move on to these updates because we got so much to talk about. So many.
I'm not done with you, Q-Lynn.
No, we going to be done.
I'm not done with you, Q-Lynn.
We're going to be done with the mute button because we got most stuff to talk about.
Okay.
And I just wanted to address that because you want to get stuff started. I told you when we came back on, I was going to handle this. And that's what we were going to do. Because you're not going to sit up here and try to ruin that. And you wonder why you say I fired you. Look at the decisions you make on this show. And you wonder why.
Oh, really?
You wonder why.
Oh, okay.
You wonder why.
Mm-hmm.
I use the fire word.
You know,
that's your choice of words. I'm not saying that, but. Look at the decisions you make on this show.
Yeah, I'll see slander. Uh-huh. Defamation of character.
Once again, on Facebook Live because I'll be polling again. And guess what? They will be on my side again.
They won't be on your side.
Guess what?
You're like 45. You know, EB, have you noticed how she's become more like a dictator?
You know what?
I understand.
I'm not a dictator. And he picked how's a dictator and... he picked the whole song selection. I had an idea. You're gonna make me take it back because I was gonna let you include you in on the show. But guess what?
I'll think about
it in the next year.
You mean I get my job back?
2018. I was gonna think about including you in on the show.
Oh, 2018.
Guess what?
Oh, really?
We gonna think about this next year.
But interesting.
I was gonna add it in this show, since you wanna act up in front of company. You know what? We gonna bypass this because we got too much stuff to talk about. And you just want the whole show about you. Like I said, you Puff Daddy Will. You gotta be all up in the microphone. You gotta be all up in the show when we try to go on, trying to distract me, trying to play Michael Jackson. Didn't work because that's my favorite Michael Jackson song. Rock With You. That's the jam.
Mm-hmm.
So we gonna keep on going on.
We gonna
bypass you. And we're gonna get to the rest of the guests.
You really can't bypass me.
You've been quiet the whole time and you cutting in on everybody's top.
You know.
What I need you to do is go get that Pinot Grigio and go to the room by yourself, wherever the engineer's station is.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Off,
oh, my goodness.
Off so we can finish the rest of the show.
Oh, really? Okay, see, you haven't
seen Tito Grigio popping.
Mm-hmm.
And turn your mic off. That's what you could do.
Oh, turn my mic off. No, this is what I could do.
No, you move it off. No, no. See, I know. You better turn it off. I know that. Turn it off. Now. Turn it off. I don't want to hear that. But you cut that to the show. See? You know?
You promise? Okay.
I ain't promising nothing. I know you better turn this off because I want to hear it. See, y'all are playing these games, getting this up. Like I said, he keeps doing this. We got about almost 35 minutes left, and you over here cutting to the show.
All right.
We gotta get to a savvy update.
Okay, let's get to it.
No, let's get into it. I don't know what you gonna be. We'll
address your lawsuit later.
Listen, I got all the evidence on my side, so you do this every week, and the evidence keeps piling up against you. So turn this Michael Jackson off so we can finish the savvy update. Please, I'm asking nicely with an aggressive tone. Will, turn this off, man. Oh, my God. Y'all see what I got to deal with? Listeners, y'all, listen, I don't have control of this. This is live radio. I was going... So little out there, and I was going to move on. Guess what? He don't want to move on. So guess what? We're going to get to these savvy updates. Julie, how have you, I know you said you had a lot going on, but how are you feeling now with all this foolishness going on, Joe?
I'm good. I'm in Five Guys. About order.
Hey,
five.
Julie.
I just don't know what's going on.
Thank you.
Hi, Julie.
I don't know what's going on.
Julie, I definitely wanted to introduce Julie to my sister because for some reason they remind me of each other. They really remind me of each other. That's why I connected with Julie like over Twitter before the show and everything because she reminds me of my sister.
Oh, that's so sweet. Hey, sister. Hey, why are you on Cash App? I was
going to
send you $20 a day. Go have a drink.
I am on Cash App. Wait.
You are?
Wait,
I'm about to send you some. Oh, you are? Oh, I'm going to send you.
Y'all know my name is Evie for press on everything. Come on now.
Well, I
didn't know.
I'm gonna do it again. Hold on. I'm gonna
send you some. I'm gonna send you some.
I'm not gonna turn down no gift, you know.
How much does drinks cost? How much does drinks cost in Brooklyn? How much they cost? I might send you.
They're like $10 or $12 a piece in Brooklyn.
$10, $12. I'm gonna send you a little something.
I'm from South Carolina where they're like $2 a piece, so, you know, it's a little mm-hmm. different.
Getting litty out here.
Right.
Oh, my God. We got so much to talk about. But these savvy updates, we're going to pull them up. Like I said the last show, I'm not inebriated or taking nothing on this show. The last show, I was lit out here. And y'all could tell, a lot of y'all could tell in the audio, because... I listened back and I heard where Evie said, you're angry. I wasn't angry. It was just the Jamaican rum that was blame it on. I can't remember the Jamie Foxx song, but yeah, blame it on.
I told you. I told you, EB.
But I said on the show, you didn't even know it. See?
Oh, I knew it.
It didn't kick in until after the Houston rap. When we started talking about Houston rap, when Shaka was on, that's when it had kicked in. And I was about over his sleep. Over here sleep like I was in the nursing home or something because I was over here knocked out. I had to put myself on mute because I was over here gone.
She started drinking at noon.
But what was you saying? Who said, somebody say something before I said something.
You started drinking at noon.
I think it was Julie. I think Julie was saying
Julie, what did you say?
Oh, I was just saying, I'm at Five Guys, so if it's loud, I had to come get some fries. That's how I'm feeling this
Friday. Get some fries. Really, you just walked into it, so like, let me get this. Hold on, y'all.
No. Like, let me get a fry. I've been everywhere since we've been on. I've been to Whole Foods, Trader Joe's.
Oh, my God. So you didn't even get into all the foolery that's going on in the show. They had a hot lot. They thought we was fighting on the show, Julie. They was like, if this not fighting, then this is hilarious. I'm like, yeah, because we talked.
But it's
E.B. had got off before we started, because we were talking for like almost an hour talking about Bruno and his addiction. No, we gonna get into it when we get into these savvy news. Just wait on it. But these savvy updates.
Everybody got to die.
Nope. That ain't the point. Okay. I'm going to read these updates real quick. We're going to get to these. They got some for you. They're saying, what college do you teach at, and how long have you been, being a professor?
Wait a minute. Julie, you can tell them how long you've been a professor, but do not tell them what college you teach at.
You hear my answer?
Right,
now.
So let me pull up the list. I think his name is LaMille. LaMille from Charlotte.
Okay. Oh, that's not mine. I just had fries. So, yeah, I've been teaching a year now on the collegiate level. I love it. But the answer to where I teach is Nahl University.
I told you they know you on the show.
Right, they're going to show up. They're going to pull up.
Y'all not going to show up and no.
Right.
No.
They had some questions for us. They wanted to do a Lusty. I saw that. I said that one show. They said they wanted to do a Lusty Songs Part 2.
Oh, we can do that.
Because they like those songs. But, yeah. Lusty Songs Part 2. That one was real. But she said she didn't like that. And that was crazy. They said they went with me on that. They said I was wrong for the Lisa and the Cult Jam and for the Ready for the World. Everybody, all the aunties is ready to fight me for that. Cause
I missed it. What did you say about Lisa? Y'all know I love Lisa.
You was on the show when I'm the one drunk that was drunk on the show. I listened back. I had to listen back for myself because I couldn't remember half the stuff I said. I was like, oh yeah, I did say that. Lisa and the Cult Jam. I wonder if I could take it. What's that song called? I wonder if I could take it.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yes, you said that. And I was like, what?
At that point, the drunken rant started. So it was just, at that point, when I started listening out the song, I listened to myself. I'm like, it wasn't John Lennon. It was somebody else. It was some other hippie-looking guy. But it wasn't that song. It wasn't Imagine. It was something else.
I couldn't remember. Where my sister and I grew up, Lisa and Cult Jam, I Wonder If I Take You Home, was the Big DM radio station, the Big DM 101.3 FM. That was the traffic jam. That's how you knew it was 5 o'clock. They would play the instrumental to the Lisa song, and then they would take the call of people stuck in traffic, you know, what they driving, where they headed, what road they're on. So that song is stuck in my heart, man. It's Lisa. What do you mean? It's Lisa.
I just don't like the melody. I don't like the song. Like it's the melody don't catch me.
This makes me sad.
I just ruined everybody's like childhood memories. The last show and my drunken rant with Bruno. I'll get to that when we get to the news topics. But I think I'm trying to pull up some more emails. They got one addressing both of us asking. What is it? Are we defined in our careers? Are we happy where we're at? I don't think they want me to say their name. I was going to say their name, but I don't know. It's an email, so I don't know if they want me to say it or not.
Okay. Any of us? Are we happy?
I think it just addressed. It's from the show Shaka was on, the one with when we're talking about music streaming. So. That is asking that question. Where are we happy where we're at in our careers?
I'll go first. I'm pretty happy. I just in 2017 started taking music and music journalism and radio. Seriously, it's been a passion and a love of mine since I was a child. I think my sister can attest to that. Like, it's something that I've always been into music and just getting into it on this level because I've always been involved with music through work. What a lot of people don't know is, you know, like, during high school, I interned at an urban AC radio station for 2 years. So I met everybody from Jeffrey Osborne to Anita Baker to Jaheim to Angie Stone while I was in high school. And then after high school, once I got into college, my part-time was at a Ticketmaster theater. So I was meeting Chaka Khan and Earth, Wind & Fire, you know, Maurice and Philip, like, and Verdeen before Maurice passed. You know, I was meeting all the big names, everybody in hip-hop, R&B, rock, soul, and jazz. So now, like, walking into it, yeah, I'm very happy where I am. It's a lot that I plan on doing next year in 2018, and I want you all to be there. Like I said before on the show, Julie was actually one of the first people who inspired me, and she tweeted, I don't even know when she tweeted this, but it was like she tweeted something about, I'm going to write a book, and I'm going to do something in music. And I've been walking in that path, so, yeah, I'm happy where I am.
Yeah, it sounds like, what about the, I'm adding on this question, is it with the website, are you happy with? I guess I'll add on with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I'm happy and a little scared about my website. I'm happy because it's great. It's something I've always, you know, wanted to do, was get the information about music out there, especially about the history of the black experience in music and soul music, hip-hop, R&B, gospel, jazz, funk, rock. But at the same time, I'm scared because when I started my website in July, I had no idea it would take off like it did. No idea. So many celebrities have hit me up who I did not know knew my name or knew who I was, you know, have hit me up off of the strength of my website and things that they've seen and heard about me. So, I mean, I'm happy about it. Yeah, I'm scared because, you know, it's always hard to prepare for what's in the cards or what God has for you. It's always hard to prepare for that. I don't think there's any way to really prepare for that. It's something that just happens. But I'm excited. I'm scared, but I'm excited.
And your website is, like, when I go on it, I'm like, I was like, I just be like observing. I'm like, yo, I love how that vinyl is playing on there. I'm just like obsessed with it. Sometimes I just be there. I get in like a meditative state just looking at it. I'm like, yo, this is so effing cool looking at this. And I just was like really look into it. And I'm like, okay, let me read the article now. I zoned out. It's like a meditation or something looking at it. I'm like, yo, this is so effing cool. But yeah, I pretty much the same experience EB had, like, I think my satisfaction has came from just starting a website. Like, I already told y'all a story of how long it took me to take out, and I mean, put the website out, soulsadness.com. And it took me a long time because I didn't know what I wanted to write about. And so I was having writer's block, and so I had a lot of ideas, but none of them conceptually were coming together. And so I just left it alone, and then everything started aligning. I was just in a really good space, and that's why I relate to the law of emotion and what that is, and just being in a really good, like, high vibration. I really, like, relate to that because everything, like, when I look back when I started it, it just everything aligned the way it's supposed to. I met with the right people I was supposed to, and then I didn't have any kind of inclination of what was going to happen. I just wanted to write about music that I love and give appreciation to musicians and singers that I admired. Like, I think the first ones I wrote about was like Roger Troutman and Bob Marley and Shep Crawford. Shep Crawford was personally one of my favorite musicians. And then like the first day I put it up there, it got like over 1,000 hits that day. I was like, whoa, like I wasn't even expecting like at least 20 people. Like, you know, it was like when I started it, it was like maybe 5 to 10 of my relatives that was liking it. I'm like, all right, that's okay. But when it was like strangers like hit me up about it, and then like what EB was saying about like it was like celebrities that I even know like knew who I was, and then like Mint Condition, I wrote about Mint Condition, and they were like started following me on Twitter. I was like, whoa, what's happening? And then it's like so many moments with it, but that wasn't even it. I think my satisfaction just came with like actually like publishing the website. I was like, because it took me so long. It took me like 4 years. I was like, if I could just get this website out, I'll be good. And so everything from that has just been icing on the cake. Like getting to meet my favorite like singers and musicians that I've always idolized. Like actually one of them was on the show. Like, the show itself, like, branching the brand off to do this radio show, like, I'm doing everything and then getting ready to do my musician stuff. I've always put that on the back burner, but now I have a reason. The Soul Savinus brand, like, helped jumpstart all the stuff I'm doing with my musicianship, and so I'm getting ready to do some stuff, do some video projects in the next couple of weeks, and so we're getting ready to, I'm trying to, you know, bring all my ideas together, so I'm really satisfied, and so to get to do what I love every day is just like a blessing, so I think for me, I'm just happy that just seeing people's interaction, y'all send the emails and, you know, commenting and actually listening to the entire show, like, I appreciate that, even the negative comments. I appreciate everything because y'all don't have to do that. People don't have to sit in and listen to the show. So the fact y'all do that, and then the fact that people that never met me before in my life, like, it's, like, overwhelming when I think about it. So I try not to, because I'm getting a little emotional talking about it now. It's like overwhelming of a feelings that I get when I think about it. But yeah, I just appreciate everybody. I'm satisfied. So we're gonna move on with the show before I start crying.
And
but yeah,
before, no,
oh,
before
go ahead.
You finish that. I want the listeners to know Q-Lin and I. Q-Lin, I don't know if Q-Lin and Will have met in person, but I've met.
No, never, never. I've never
no,
met.
I've never met Will or Q-Lin. So
right.
Next year in February, I'm going to meet Q-Lin. I'm organizing a cabin trip. Julie, I really, really, really want you to come, but that's the first time Q-Lin and I are going to meet. So we are definitely going to record an episode of the show and save it for that first interaction, because it's amazing, like, the vessel that she's created and that, you know, she asked me to be a part of. I love it. Like, she didn't have to do that. Like, you know, I like to talk about music here and there. I talk shit about some people, Beyonce. But, you know, for the most part, I love music. It's just the love of music that I have. So for her to do that meant the world to me. And we will meet in February, which I'm very excited about. So
I'm so excited. I'm like,
yeah.
That's why I was like, man, I can't wait until.
Yeah, oh, no.
This experience alone of just having, like, not just like us, but having a group of people that love music, just the whole beginning of the whole meaning behind the trip is, like, amazing. So I'm like,
yeah.
I'm so looking forward to it. But yeah, EB, for him to say that, like, it's a thing I realized, like, being in the music industry and the entertainment period, but it's like, you know, like, people that, like, really, like, when they want to be a part of something, and how EB came on the show, I didn't even, like, I just thought of it, like, when me and Will were on the show, and we got so much good feedback from him being on, like, from, I think the first two guests we had on, it was, like, the same response, and he got, like, me and him, like, when I tell you, me and EB clicked musically, like, so well, like, everything,
yeah.
Like, he appreciates about music, like, from more of his, he appreciates singers, like, background singers, I appreciate that as well, but he leans more toward background singers, I lean toward more musicians, and so we sort of do the same thing, and I'm like, yo, wouldn't that be dope if we could, like, do this? Because he gets, I think mostly because he gets my Coke jokes, and I'm like, okay, you get them. When he got to TJ Moses, I'm like, oh, we got to have him back on. But for him just immediately be like, yeah, because he could have said no, because I was just throwing it out there. It was just an idea I had, and he was, like, all for it, and then here we are, like, so many months later, almost, you know, getting into another year of the Soul Savinus show. We didn't have EB at first. I was just winging it. I didn't know what I was doing. Like, I'm just trying to create something. And then adding him on there, like, made this show, like, really, like, just take off. And so, man, you're going to give me all my feelings, and I'm about to start crying in, like,
none
5 minutes.
None of that.
I'm going to start crying so we can go move on to Raggedy People.
Yeah, forget all about me. See, EB, I was talking.
I was tossed
like a dish rag. I was tossed. I was fired. But Evie, welcome. You have been an absolute.
We had like.
I just want to say. May I also?
I was about to give you the props.
Okay.
I was about to give you props. Listen, I give Will. Me and Will joke all the time, but seriously, again with this radio show. When I first started, it was. Let me show you how crazy, like, the universe is, because I went on a fast for, I do this thing, my spirituality, I love fasting, and I just randomly do it when I'm trying to get clarity and just clarification of when I meditate. And so when I fast, I meditate. I think I did a 20-day fast from whatever I wanted to abstain from. I think it was just no sugar and no alcohol. I think it was like no food or something. It was just something to where I was just juicing and just 20 days. And then every time I meditated, the word podcast kept coming up like when I was meditating. And so the last day, I kid you not, the last day of my fast, I contacted Will. We have a mutual friend, Winter. She has our show on Monday nights on Studio W Buzz that comes on every Monday night on this program show. I mean, on this program network. And I contacted him because I was wanting to promote Soul Savviness. And so I hit him up, and then he was like, yo, call me at such and such time. And so I contacted Will, the time he said, and we literally talked for like 2 hours. And he was just asking me questions about my background. I'll tell him I've been a musician, working musician for 10 years. I started this website like, you know, almost 4 years ago on 2014. And it's just been all these great things happening. We just had a conversation, talk about music. And then by the end of the time, like midway in the conversation, he was like, yo, you want your own radio show? And I was like, yeah. And then it was like from there, like Will thinks like I love the way Will like conducts his business, because we're pretty much business-wise, we're on the same like wavelength. And the way he like, he's so methodical and so like precise about what he does, and he does a great job of like conducting this network, because he has so many different radio shows on this network, and he's like always like letting us like have our own thing, like Free Will. Like at first he was like no cussing on the show. And now, like, he's giving up, like, free reign to let us do our thing. And I appreciate Will. Seriously. To where he lets us do our own thing. Like, it's not, like, concise to where he's, like restrained us. Like, we have, like, creative control over the music, the format, the segments, and the way me and EB put our visions together. He allows us to do that on the show, like every show. And that's what makes it fun. But for Will to like have that confidence in the beginning, it was like, yo, this, we can get this done, we can get this done, and handling all the business. It's like for him to like do that, it was like the biggest moment. And it just like was like clarity to me that this was like a purpose move and I was supposed to be doing it. Cause it was like literally, like I just thought of like podcasting, and then that exact day he had offered me the radio show. So thank you, Will, for that, because you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to, you know, let us do act crazy on the show. Because I know if you listen to the other shows, you know, you would think like we was like some like heathens or something, that which we are to some degree. But the fact he lets us do our own thing, and the fact that his audience respects what we're doing and understands our perspective and what we bring to the show is dope as well, because it's a whole new audience for me, because Studio W Buzz has like opened up so many different listeners that I would have never had on Soul Savviness by myself if it wasn't for him. So thank you, Will, for that. Like seriously. Yeah, we over here having an open moment on the show.
Right.
I wasn't even trying to do that, but thank you to the listener for that email, man. Because you over here got me in my feelings, man. And I wasn't even trying to do it this show. I thought we gonna get it back on, because we got like 15 minutes left. We're probably going to have to do a part two, which I don't mind, but we're going to try to, I guess, do regular people news, and then we'll do the rest off air, because we got like 15 minutes left, and we'll have Julie and LaShawn plug their social media, and if they want to stick on, we'll do a quick little 30-minute of the Raggedy People and Savvy News and get this all packaged for y'all. So we move on to Raggedy People.
Q-Lynn, before I start, okay, you'll get an extra
Tony Braxton video.
You'll get it. No. Braxton's back is starting at 7:30 tonight. And so, if you want, you can have an extra 15 minutes or so. And thank you so much for that compliment. And, you and EB, you are a treasure to this, radio network. And let everybody know that we do this thing globally. It's not just in your city or mine or Southern California or wherever you are. You in Oklahoma, EB, you in New York, right?
I'm in Brooklyn, yep.
Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah, we worldwide. We got Dominican thotties out here wanting to get our number, EB. I don't know what's up with that. They want our number. We got Dominican, and I know we got a few people from Canada. So we getting a little Dominican. I think Will said New Zealand.
Jamaica. Oh, my goodness. Dublin, Ireland.
The emails I got. They out here, EB, trying to get chose. But I already told you I'm an eligible girlfriend out here. So, I'm kind of faithful out here, so I can't be doing all that. So.
Costa Rica, Canada, Australia. Yep, we are global. So thank you so much. And
thank you so much.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. But yeah, we get to Raggedy People News and Savvy News. I'm gonna try not to. I think we should still go off because you know I want to go over to Adrian's show. So make sure you once we wrap it up, make sure you plug us off. But you're gonna hear us talking about. The Orange Aid, y'all's president that looks like an old thing of orange juice, like not even a good orange juice. He looks like Tampico, like that's what he looks like. So if you don't want Adrian's listeners to hear that after the
he's Sunny D, he's Sunny D, he's not real.
Yeah, we should start with that Raggedy. He's absolutely Raggedy. The Raggedy White House. His little flunkies are all one by one. I told y'all, if we could get him up out of here by Christmas, it would be lovely. Like, that would be the greatest gift to America for this foolery. We had to do it for a whole year to get him up out of here. If we can make that happen, because one of the congressmen have already starting to proceed to that. And you know this tax bill they got coming up, they're trying to pass it through there. And if they do that, y'all need to go out there and vote. Y'all need to go out there and call your senators. I know I posted a list, I think yesterday, of all the local states, the states that you can call to your senators to vote no on that tax bill. Because if he gets that tax bill through there, he's going to have all the leverage. And I don't think he has it anymore with all the stuff coming out with Flynn, with him telling. I told y'all, didn't I tell y'all some months ago he was going to tell? As soon as he got there, he didn't confess that he lied to the Federal Bureau Investigation. And so he's supposed to go on trial, Flynn.
He's already pleaded guilty. Yeah. He's already pleaded guilty. And he better cooperate. He better cooperate because they only charge him with one thing, and that's lying to the FBI. But see, they have a whole lot of other charges in the bag that they could hit him with. See, you have to understand this. It's like a bad movie, or maybe a great movie. It depends on who the actors are.
Right. What did y'all think of it, Julie or LaShawn, whoever wants to go first?
So I was going to say, I hear what you're saying, that it'd be the greatest gift of 2017, getting him out of there. But I want you to slow down a little bit because I don't
know. I know you.
That succession line is a bitch, excuse me. But when we think about who would be next, Mike Pence, and then
Don't keep Paul saying Ryan. That. No, it ain't going to be to that level. No, because Mike Pence ain't out here tweeting every 5 seconds about something random. Like, okay, he might be terrible, but not to that level.
I don't know. Hey, you know,
when you look at his policies and what he believes, it's scary.
Yeah, Pence, you know, no. Pence is a quiet Trump.
Hold up.
Pence is a quiet Trump. Pence is a quiet Trump.
I get that, but finish what you said, EB, because I don't think we got to get clear audio.
Yeah, like Will said, Pence is a quiet Trump. I mean, he's not out there tweeting every day and making these ridiculous statements. But when you look at his policies before and since he has been elected vice president and look at what he really believes, it's almost scarier than Trump because Trump's downfall or Trump's flaw is that he doesn't know how – there's no discretion in it. You know, everything he's going to take to Twitter, he's going to take to, you know, whatever media he has, and he's going to reveal himself as being a crazy person who is possibly dealing with dementia or whatever. Pence,
No, yep. He's going to be quiet and reserved, and we're not going to know what's coming next.
That's with exactly
Trump,
right.
It's no secret.
That's
no
right.
Secret with Trump. He's crazy. We're going to get it. With Pence, you never know what's coming. He doesn't. I'm going to say this about the current presidential office.
Yep.
No one is sane. No one is sane. But at least with Trump, we know he's not sane. With the rest, it's scary because we never know because they don't play.
No.
It's almost like a game of chess. They
you
don't
say
play.
That. I get what you're saying. I get all of that. But what I'm saying is when it comes to these mid-elections, what they worried about, the Republicans is worried about, if they don't get this tax bill, they're afraid they're going to lose their Senate seats. And that's 100% factual because you already saw what happened in the last local election with the Democrats picking up those seats, and they need those. What's going to happen, what y'all need to do, is come a mid-election time, is very seriously, because I'm so pissed. I'm still pissed at the 2012 when Obama was in his second term. Nobody voted. Like, that's how they got all the House, the majority of the House, because nobody voted in that election. What I think is going to happen is that all the outrage for his presidency is going to, like it did in the past election, is going to transfer over to the midterm, whatever it's called, for next year. And that's what they're worried about.
Okay, let me talk. So, Trump, yes, I want to see him gone, but I have to see from a political science point of view. We want him out of there, but we need him and his whole cabinet. So it has to be something
exactly.
So drastic.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's what the mid-election for next year is going to be.
Mueller, no. What I'm saying is Mueller's investigation is, Pence is not far away from being the next one who has to meet with Mueller. They've already had Kushner. They've already had Trump Jr. Like, this shit is getting real, and it's getting closer and closer to the White House. That's my first point. My second point is, you're absolutely right about the midterm elections. We saw what happened. Him being, his inauguration triggered people who never thought of running for public office to run. It's an Asian American woman in Virginia. She said after he was inaugurated, she had to do something so her daughter would have some hope, basically, in the political process. So she ran and she was elected the first Asian American in, I guess, Virginia to their state legislature. Across the board, we saw all these different firsts this past November in that election. Next year, all of the House of Reps, so every congressman and congresswoman, their seat is up for grabs. And I want to say it's like 85% of the Senate, or maybe it's 50%. I'm too excited to get my math right, but my point is, a lot of the senators' seats are up for grabs, too. I know here in Texas, Ted Cruz's seat is up. A lot of governorships are up for grabs in 2018. And that is where we need to be focused on. I know we want to focus on Congress, and we do. But for Congress to add an amendment, like to really shift constitutional stuff, they have to have the support of states. And so we really need to get that number down. I think we're maybe at 34 Republican governors. We need to get that down to like 30 or less. And the reason being is because once you hit 2/3 of your governors being Republican, if we have a Republican-controlled Congress, then they can do some things in terms of adding amendments to the Constitution, and that's when shit get real crazy. The last time we had an amendment passed was 92, I want to say. So it's bigger than just get Trump out of there. Yeah, we want him out of there, but we really need to focus on the mechanics of all of it. And so I'm sorry for this quick spiel on the political process, but when you look at how amendments can be added, they can be added through how the states are controlled, because the states have to agree. So many states have to agree to have a convention. Then if Congress decides they want to go forward with it, then it's crazy how it can go down. And right now, since President Obama was elected in 08, since then, we saw the Tea Party formulate, and then they, you know, they pretty much had a bunch of infighting. And then they put all these people in office, though. So, that this crazy guy, I want to say he in Kansas, is it the Kansas Secretary of State? Like, the kind of things that he's pushing, you just have to, like, look. I need to start back blogging. That's my problem. I need to start back blogging. But if you look at how these different people are operating, like, they're trying to get rid of, I don't know if y'all paying attention, but your Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, mm-hmm. you know who Rex Tillerson was? He was the damn CEO of Exxon. So we really don't stand a chance. We just need them to all just destroy one another, pretty much. So Rex Tillerson and Trump are now going at it, you know. So Trump's talking about replacing Rex Tillerson. So something big is about to happen.
Yeah.
Like, and it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be like 90s type, another plane crash type stuff. I hate I said that on the air. But yeah, do your Google. So we want Trump out of there, but we really have to pay attention to the whole chessboard. You know, we look at him like he's a major piece on the chessboard. No, he's just a pawn. We got to look at these other players on the chessboard. And when you look at Mike Pence, you look at Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan is playing for Congressman Kanye to step down. Everybody know Kanye, you know, he do his thing. But the same lady who accused him, she ruined her agreement, the confidentiality agreement. So now his lawyer got receipts for days. So now she's being painted as opportunist. We don't know if he was a horrible dude or not. But Ryan is asking
for him to step down. Who? Which one?
Conyers.
Which person?
Conyers. Conyers.
Conyers.
Oh, okay.
Out of Detroit. So he's asking him to step
down. I thought you said Kanye, but go ahead.
Oh, no.
That's why I was confused. I was like, what?
Kanye's
okay,
now hospitalized. So amid, as the news say, Kanye's is hospitalized amid these allegations. You know, so all these congressmen, though, it's not just Conyers who had people accuse him of stuff. Congress has paid off. It's almost like, well, shit, I need to go to the Hill and get that clearance so I get a check. You know, because that's how they was writing them checks. You know what I'm saying? They write them checks left and right for years. They actually had this pool of funds and just writing checks for days. And I'm like, how the hell? You know what I'm saying? How the hell does this happen? Girl after girl and guy,
yep.
Like everybody, they trifling. They no different from the people that you work with. I had a client talking about, he asked, why does it take these women so long? And I understood where he was coming from. I couldn't be mad at him because he's never worked in a workplace. He's an entertainer, right? So he can't relate to the shit that we deal with when you got a 9-to-5. You know, he doesn't know that a man might tell you, like a dude told me when I was in corporate America, nah, you go first. I like to see how you walk when you walk away. But me being the woman I am, I cuss that nigga so clean out. You know what I'm saying? He didn't bother with me ever again in life and probably won't, you know. But I knew I had to call him out right then. But at the same time, me being a black woman, he being a black man, I protected him. I ain't reported that because I know he got a child to feed. But I let him know that shit was not okay. Now, will another woman let him know? I don't know. Would you harass another woman? Probably. But as for me, I wasn't going to be the one that made him unemployed. But I was going to cuss him out and let him know next time I'm going to call some of these Negroes that I know and they going to handle him, you know, because that's how I move. So when I explain this to the guy, like, this is the kind of stuff that happens, this is why. You might be in sales. You can't report the top salesperson and bitch, you making 80% of your quota. You know what I'm saying? They gonna take up for him because he's bringing in 200%. You just going to have to figure that shit out. Unless you got some video and some audio and you threaten to go to the news. You know, this is just the things that we deal with. So if that's happening in Congress, of course it's happening at AT&T, Comcast, Verizon, Harvey Weinstein. Let's face it, women are not supposed to be in the workplace. That's how men think. You know, like, it's a privilege for us to be there. Just like your president treats black people, it's a privilege for y'all to play in the NFL. No, this is a privilege for us to even share our talents with y'all. But if we really do get in the mind of creating our own league, y'all going to be screwed, you know?
It's coming. So it's coming.
All, it's all connected, though. It's all connected. So EB is absolutely correct with him being the mouthpiece. But just because they're styling, they're not tweeting and doing things, if you watch how they move, like during Harvey, you know, what Pence was,
yep.
Pence was in Venezuela. You know what I'm saying? You got to watch how they move. I pay attention. You know, you're going to have to start, if y'all are listening, I want y'all to start paying attention to Al Jazeera, BBC. Look at global networks. Don't just think CNN, mm-hmm. MSNBC, and Fox are your sources, because they're not, you know.
Yeah,
on my case, I don't listen to the race. I don't listen to music. I would love to listen to, you know, the Breakfast Club or the Mad Hatter Show here in Houston, but I turn to NPR because I got to get my mind right, because somebody's going to say something that's going to trigger something. I'm going to put a little note in my phone, and then I'm going to use my Google, excuse me, and I'm going to learn, and then I'm going to be able to teach somebody else something. So I listen to NPR on my commute. Of course, you know, Trump is trying to take away funding for them. So every fall, NPR does these huge campaigns. I got to get my money up to get an NPR because I don't need them to leave the air. National Public Radio makes a difference. So, yes, we want Trump out, but I need them all gone.
All of them.
All gone.
Well, they are going to be gone if you leave it up to Trump.
Well, yeah, because this little dude across Korea, how does he, can he shoot his missile without hitting the black people? Because we ain't did that.
I don't know. But I know.
You know, I think about Chernobyl and how.
We got to get Dennis Rodman another trip back over there. I know.
Wait. But he can hit Beyonce and Jay-Z. So
what's next on the docket? Run that back again, EB. What did you just say?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we're going to keep going because you guys causing me so much editing purposes. Hopefully the people listening in live on the app and on the website of studiow.buzz did not hear what you said. We're going to move on. You transitioned perfectly, EB, with your, that really threw me off.
Can
you just made,
go ahead, Julie,
oh, man.
Go ahead.
You just made me throw my head back. I almost broke my neck.
This month, today is December 1st. This month, you're going to hear about a lot of people announcing they're running for governor, for senator, for U.S. Congress. They're going to start announcing these more and more this month. In March, we're going to have our primaries. The primaries are going to start February and March. So you got to vote in those primaries. You guys got to pay attention. I'm saying this for the listeners.
Yes.
You got to pay attention to those primaries because come November will be the general election, and it's going to be real. I think y'all just inspired me to get back to blogging.
I think the social media, I think everybody is collectively, like what they do with their health care. That's why I'm not worried about nothing because the way everybody, I know people have their own reservations of why they didn't vote, whatever, but people are doing something now, whether or not they voted or not, doesn't matter. What matters is them paying attention, like you said, and going out there and vote and in their local election, not just in the primary, but local, with knowing who your councilman is. All those things matter with that. So I love now, the reason why the healthcare bill, it keeps getting turned down. They didn't threw that thing out. They keep trying to get it out there, and they're trying to quietly do it with this tax bill. It's ridiculous. But people, the senators, all those people using their Twitter platforms to spread the word and retweeting it, it's a lot of people out there are paying attention and actually calling in, and that's what changed these people's minds. That's why those selective Republicans, those in those states, they say call those people because they're the ones being persuaded by the people that vote for them to change their mind about it. So I feel like it's going to be the same thing with this tax bill that's coming up in the next week.
And on that same note, that's why net neutrality is so important. Because
right,
important.
They want to control how we communicate and receive information, you know.
Right.
And these ISP companies, your Verizons, your Comcast and all of
yep.
them, they fund this stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They fund it and they control, but if they can get to where they have all the control, then, you know, the narrative is going to change. You know, how we've gotten so used to this communication, it's been a blessing. But I called this back in 2009. I said the internet and social media is so cool because you connect all over the world. It's it's not being used the way they intended. They didn't intend for us to, like, use this shit to better ourselves. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no.
That's right.
Doing, so they want to control it, you know?
Yep.
LaShawn, if you want to jump in, I guess we could transition because we got so much to talk about, and I think we got like 9 minutes left. I think we'll do the Savvy News off air. I guess we can plug all that off air, your social medias and stuff when we get ready to end the show, but we got 9 minutes, 8 minutes left. Wait, my time. Yeah, 8 minutes left.
Wow.
We can transition to the, what, Will, you keep cutting me off. What did you want
to
say?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off because I find this conversation intriguing. I think it's something that, I don't know how you're going to incorporate it into your shows, but it's something that needs to be encouraged. Voting, number one, and Julie, amazing comments. We need to start paying attention. Wake up.
Right.
And what most people do, you know, they get up, go to work, eat, go to bed, go to sleep, and they have no idea what's going on. And it's a lot of crazy, crazy stuff that's going on out here. And if you don't pay attention to it, and if you don't go out and vote, it is absolutely stupid not to do that. And I tell you the reason why I'm coming from. You have people that died so you can have the right to vote.
Exactly. And that's what pissed me off about the last election. And it was actually, it got a lot of retweets. I don't know why, because I was commenting. Somebody had, I retweeted somebody talking about that. Somebody ever retweeted, what's that Sean guy's name? That dude that posts a lot of stuff about, I don't know what his last name is, I forgot, but he was saying that tweet from last year talking about how Hillary and Trump was basically the same, lesser of two evils type of mentality, and I thought it was bullshit because it's absolutely not the same thing, and people were tweeting when I said that Hillary wouldn't be doing all the things, wouldn't be trying to turn this country into authoritarian dictatorship. She wouldn't be doing all of that. Yes, it might have been stuff, whatever, but it wouldn't be to this extreme. So to make that comparison to say that it was a lesser of two evils is bullshit. And I'm going to, everything about that logic is flawed because the reason why Hillary lost was because the Democrats didn't want Bernie. They didn't want Bernie because they felt like he was too radical. And I felt like if they would allow Bernie to, because he had enough following. Like he had a gross amount of millennials following him. That was his whole thing, getting the $15, you know, minimum wage, raising it to $15, saying the things that the young kids care about, this generation, these new generation of kids care about. And so the fact that the Democrats collectively got together to blackball him to not win the primary was that's what effed it up. If they would allow Bernie to get in there, he would have won. Nobody liked Hillary. I knew that from the beginning. Besides the emails, nobody liked Hillary. I knew that off the bat. But
Q-Lan, can I please jump in real quick? Please. No, nope. That's not it at all.
What?
In any competition, and the world is run by numbers. If you look at it, clocks, paycheck, whatever it is, it's run by numbers. If you win by one, you win. Hillary won by 3 million votes plus.
No,
hear me out.
I'm not talking about Bernie.
Hillary. Please. Hillary going up against Donald Trump. She won the popular vote by 3 million votes. What won Donald Trump I'm trying to make a point. Please. Okay. The Electoral College got Donald Trump the vote. The Electoral College was rigged. Please understand what I'm trying to say.
Well, but I'm saying that it wouldn't even matter what that, my point. Go ahead.
What Julian is saying is that Hillary should have never been the candidate up against Trump. Period. She shouldn't even been the candidate.
Right, that's my point. Right.
They colluded. Hell, the whole Bush, well, your girl just
put our book out there. So.
Donna Brazil.
Yeah, Donna, what's her last name?
No,
I forgot. Yes.
Donna
Brazil. No, but I hear what Will is saying.
I get what he's saying. That's my point as well. I get that. But I'm saying that none of that would have mattered. The people that voted for that independent one that was running for president, the 7% or whatever the numbers was, that little amount wouldn't have mattered if that carried over to Hillary.
But see what you're missing.
She needed to win Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Florida was the main one she needed to win. But none of those states would have mattered if the same amount of people that voted for Bernie would have came out and turned out. That's where the bullshit happened, was because none of the people voted from the last two terms at Obama, none of them turned out. That's what I'm saying. And a lot of them had the same mentality. If you ask the majority of the statistics they polled, they said over 60% of people was undecided. How the fuck are you undecided about Trump? That's what I'm saying. These are the people that didn't vote. And if they would have voted the same amount, if they didn't even just a percentage of that voted for Obama, he wouldn't have been in there.
Not necessarily.
None of that didn't matter.
Let me ask you a question. How do you guarantee that the same electoral college that voted for Trump wouldn't have voted against Bernie Sanders? How are you going to guarantee that?
It was a system. The people that are in charge of Democrats, they campaigned against Bernie. They didn't want him in there at all. And I know that for a fact because they had me thinking, is he old enough? Is he the right age? Because I was thinking that. I'm like, because I didn't know anything about Bernie's politics. I thought he was an independent. So him running for Democrat, I was like, that was his only chance of winning the presidency if he ran for Democrat. So I didn't even know. So they were pissed off from that off jump that he wasn't a real Democrat and he was too radical. And it's thinking, even though that's what the American people want, but Democrats play it too safe, and that's what lost it. They wanted Hillary because she fit the agenda of what they wanted to push of the cookie-cutter president that did everything right, shit apple pie, all that shit.
Let E.B.
Robotic, and that's what they wanted.
E.B., jump in.
I think with Hillary, it was more than she fit the agenda. I think it was she had the experience.
Well, that too, I'm not discounting. I'm saying that overall, they were pushing against Bernie to get her in. And they didn't do enough, they didn't do a good enough job.
Well, yeah,
she wasn't right.
Yeah.
She was too stoic to go against Trump
more of a fight within the Democratic Party than there was on a national level, on a bi-level, bipartisan party level. And I think that it really should have been, I don't think it should have been Hillary versus Bernie or Bernie versus Hillary, any of that. But I think it's who is the best person for the job and who can we elect into office to stop this madman from taking control of the Oval Office. And I think that's where Democrats failed.
Everybody's
focus was on, Hillary or Bernie, and it should not have been on Hillary or Bernie. It should have been united who can be elect into office that will stop that reign.
I have to agree with that.
Man, we have got...
Oh, my goodness.
I know, 15-minute mark. We're going to finish this off air. We ain't finished yet. So, to all the people listening in, like y'all did the last shows, thank y'all so much for enjoying those part twos, because we get a little buck wild because I can... the tongue get loose out here, so... Might get a little loose after when we get to these savvy news, when we get off air, I know my tongue is going to be loose because I said I already got a bone to pick with EB and Julie. And we go finish this. All y'all got to do is click on that bottom link when y'all hear this full audio. The part two is down below after you hear this one. Thank y'all so much for tuning in.
Wait,
a lot of listening audience. Oh, go ahead.
Before we go, let my sister plug her social media.
Oh, she gotta go? Is she not gonna be on the, cause we gonna finish it up.
Okay.
We gonna do it at the end of the part two.
She can do the live version also, recorded.
Yeah, she can do the live
version. Y'all plug y'all social media while the live listens. Thank you, EB, for correcting me. That's what I need, like somebody to ring me in. Cause I'm getting hyped up thinking about savvy news. But go ahead, y'all plug y'all social media. Julie and LaShawn, y'all plug y'all social media for the live listeners.
Go ahead, LaShawn.
All right, I'm on Instagram
at the Tilted Crown blog and Facebook at the Tilted Crown blog and on Twitter at the Tilted Crown. Website, www.thetiltedcrownblog.com. And on Facebook, LaShawn Dreher, if you ever want to get in contact with me.
Oh, I forgot we got to do the Savvy Heathen Talk. Savvy Heathen Talk is, I was going to do it on the part two on the, when we get off air, but I'll do it now before I forget about it. Savvy Heathen Talk is pretty much, you can say something, you know, savvy is more like saying something like of substance, or, you know, potency, you know, but the heathen, if you want to go the route I go most of the time, and just say whatever's on your mind, whatever.
That's about right.
So, whoever, y'all throw your Savvy Heathen Talks out there so we can wrap up.
Okay.
Whoever wants to go, EB,
go
Julie, or LaShawn, whoever wants to.
Because I try to be good, guys. I want everybody to know I try to be good.
Sure you do.
I do. I really
Beyonce
do.
Is trash.
And I try to be, you know, as sane and civil as possible. But my Savvy Heathen Talk for this week is, it's my birthday. Fuck you.
There we go.
That's it. That's all I got.
We're trying to do a Savvy Heathen Talk out there.
So, Q Lynn, it's up to you to, Q Lynn, you can edit that if you want. It's up to you, okay?
I'm not gonna edit it. We're gonna let that ride.
I didn't think you would.
Right. Live listeners already got it. Listen, we should get like four curse words, per show.
No.
Get a 4 or 5.
No,
cause I try my best not to ever curse on the show. I do, but this week, you know, it's one time.
He got that bourbon in the system. That's what. Just tell the truth. I know you got a bottle over there, sitting over there.
You get a pass.
Julia, LaShawn, throw your
hey, Julie.
Out there real quick before we go to the part two.
Go ahead, LaShawn.
I would just say, wear less, live more.
There we go. You got positivity. Going on. Go ahead, Julie. Throw yours out
there. Did you say wear less, live more?
That's what I said.
There we
yes.
go. Freedom. Liberation. Throw yours out there.
I told y'all.
Oh, and we get to do this off air. We got so much to talk about. We might do.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, Julie. Throw yours out there.
Just mind your business.
There we go. There we go. I'm trying to think of one. Oh, yeah. If somebody gets you that 24K magic, throw it in the street and run it over. That's my Savvy Heathen Talk. We're going to finish this in the part two.
Okay.
I try to get my juices flowing for the part two.
Let me get mine in.
To go into the part two.
I have a Savvy Heathen Talk.
Throw it out there, Will.
Anybody, any idiot that chooses to believe anything comes out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is either stupid, evil, or a real heathen. And you've been listening to the Savvy.
I thought you was about to throw the real cuss words out there. I was like, you're a mother. I thought you was about to say all of them. You gave it.
Believe me, I thought about it.
I thought you was about to say it. I thought you was about to give us an old time cuss like that Tino Grigio kick in and give us some real cuss words. That's what I thought.
I thought about it, but you know, this is a family show. And
thank y'all so much for tuning to the show. Make sure y'all click that part two because we are not done. The party is going to continue once we get off air. And I can't wait till y'all hear this.
Oh my goodness.
I got so much to talk about.
Oh.
Thank you so much.
EB, happy birthday.